From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They come past the 16th. It's Curvin! Curvin, Brian Hernandez Jr. for Joe Sharp. And Curvin has won the TwinSpire.com Louisiana Derby.
With the lead, it's Practical Joke, but Gunavera over the top is on to the front now. Three rules, battles on Gamely. These three well clear of the others, but it will be Gunavera and Javier Castellano moving clear. Gunavera for local trainer Antonio Sano romps in the fountain of youth.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum. Presented by FarmPaint.com.
Conquest Mo Money, here's the champ, Classic Empire. It is Conquest Mo Money, Classic Empire.
Irish War cries in front as they come to the final 16th. Battalion Runners not going with them. Then comes Cloud Computing down to the line. Irish War Cry has won the Wood Memorial.
Now, here's Jude Feld and Christina McManigal.
Well, good morning, HRN Nation, wherever you may be. This is Jude Feld in our Lexington studio, the Jimmy Johns of Lexington studio. And you're in for a treat this morning because Mike Penna is out of town. And we have Christina McManigal, Jockey Deluxe, the host of Jock Talk here on HRN. Good morning.
Good morning, Jude. How are you, sir?
I'm great. It's just fantastic to have you here. This is your first appearance on the Equine Forum, the show that launched the network.
This is indeed. I am so excited to be here today with you, Jude. I will tell you, I am not used to getting up so early in the morning, but since my riding days are now over.
I think saying you're delighted is a little bit of fake news.
Yeah.
It's a little rough getting up on Saturday morning, but we're here, and it's a very muggy day here in Lexington, and the holiday weekend is not starting on a bright note in our old Kentucky home. The sun is not shining, but anyway, it's gonna be fun. We've got a power packed show this morning. There's some good racing out at Santa Anita, and we're gonna focus a lot on that. The ex-Hollywood Gold Cup, now called the Gold Cup at Santa Anita, is running today. So we're going to hear from Michael House later in the show about his horse, Big John B. And at the end of the show, Mike Wilman's going to come on and talk about the card and all the festivities out at Santa Anita. So that'll be our main focus. We got a poll question, and we'll set that up right away so people can have a chance to vote. The Gamely, which is a grade one, formerly run at Hollywood Park, is going on today. And the poll question for the day is, who has the best chance to win the Grade 1 Gamely at Santa Anita? Would that be Lady Eli, the Speed Filly Avenge, or somebody else? So give us your opinion, HRN Nation. That's tough to say at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yes,
and we'd like to hear from you. And if you do pick somebody else, if you want to tweet who it is you like, we'll get those out and talk about that a little bit. For the moment, let's get our Preak on.
Yes.
Let's talk about the Preakness last week. What a fantastic race it was. You used to ride at Pimlico once in a while.
I did, quite frequently, in fact, Jude. And I'm glad we get to talk about this now. You and I have not had a chance yet to talk about last weekend. And it was a very exciting race. Kind of, you know, I don't know what you think, but it set up much differently than I thought it would. You know, I was surprised to see Always Dreaming out in front. I definitely thought he would be in the first flight, but when he took the lead, I was a little bit surprised. Thought the speed would come from Conquest Mo Money, but and then Cloud Computing. I mean, how about Chad Brown getting that horse ready? That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, well, he had looked sensational all week long. He is a beautiful horse. And the minute I saw him in person and watched him go, I thought, wow, this horse is good. And I had him on the Pope Jude sheet as a contender. And I thought a couple of my friends that had asked me about the race, you know, long shots or whatever, I said, you know, this horse, he looks so good in the morning. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it wasn't a total surprise to me that he won. You always think going in, well, he's a new shooter, they right. don't do that well, blah, 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 you know. The last time a new shooter won, it was Javier Castellano.
How about that?
Well, I don't count Rachel Alexander as a new shooter because she ran in the Oaks, but you know, it was a tremendous performance. I think the way the pace set up, it wasn't totally out of the realm of possibility.
Right.
But when Conquest Mo Money didn't break well,
yes,
and that really changed the complexion of the race from the start, because I really thought from the outside post he was gonna take off.
Right.
But you know, as a former rider, sometimes the horses on the outside, they do break slowly. Why is that?
Well, usually the rule, the going rule is last one in, first one out. That's what you usually hear around the track. However, you know, it's like anything else in race. You just never know. You get to the gate, you have plan A, plan B, plan C, and then something else entirely different happens, and you have to change all of that. So sometimes, you know, it depends on the order of the load. You know, not always do they go 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, it depends on the order of load. I definitely think it does help for a horse to be fresh in the gate. They haven't been standing there for a long time. But, you know, I've had horses that are maybe not used to breaking towards the outside, and they see the grandstand, and they're kind of distracted almost. And, you know, I can't speak for Conquest Mo Money. What happened to him there standing in the gate? Really, only the jock knows that. But, you know, it was a big race day. I'm sure he'd never seen a crowd like that before. So maybe he was distracted by all the commotion going on. You know, it's really hard to say.
And there is some commotion going on at Pimlico.
Most definitely.
The people doing the porta potty runs and the bands and, you know, a lot of overserved. And, you know, so it wasn't totally surprising. I think sometimes it's better if you have a horse outside of you.
Right.
You know, I would maybe like rather be in the 9 hole than the 10 hole. Yes. Although sometimes when you're outside, you get that nice clean break and clean trip. So, you know, a lot of it I think in this case might've been self-inflicted. You know, he just didn't get out due to distractions or whatever. And that really changed the complexion of the race.
Yeah.
What did you make of the racetrack? I was really disappointed in the way that the racetrack was cared for over those couple of days.
Yeah. And you know, you probably know better than I would because you were actually there. I just know what I saw on TV. And, you know, I believe it was Black Eyed Susan Day. Anthony and I were on the show, and it was so bizarre how all of a sudden out of the middle of nowhere, the skies opened and then it went from fast to sloppy in a matter of, you know, it seemed like minutes to
me. Yeah, it really was.
And and it was just, it was bizarre. So I know they had to deal with a lot. I mean, that's just drastic change, you know, and they have to, you know, it's hard to maintain a track like that, you know. And so, I mean, I'll ask you that. What did you think of the track? I mean, to me, it seemed weird. Like it was drying out and probably a little bit heavy, I would assume.
Yeah, it was very in flux, you know, all day long. Everybody kept saying, oh, it's going to be fast. And I think they called it fast. I think it was more hard than fast.
Yeah.
You know, it turned into Adobe towards the Preakness. The time of the Preakness was relatively fast, but I think that's because, you know, it was a really, I don't want to say hard, but it was a really firm surface that they ran over. So, I just thought they kind of let it go.
Yeah.
I mean, and maybe because of the sudden rain, they weren't prepared. I don't know. I was really surprised though, because when you're hosting a major race, a very major race, it's not just, you know, just not another grade one that you would really be, you know, cognizant of everything.
Well, and you should be prepared for anything.
Yeah. And it was a strange racetrack. It was very sloppy early on, and then, you know, then it was muddy. I mean, I would have stayed with the muddy designation. I don't know who takes care of the track there, but you know, I don't know either what the guys from Equibase were thinking. But it was very strange, and I thought, I don't know if it had a bearing on the outcome.
Right.
I mean, I think it was safe.
Right.
And which is the number one thing in my opinion.
Right.
I don't care if it's sloppy or whatever.
Absolutely.
As long as it's safe. And it seemed like it was a safe racetrack. It was even, but it was not good for shoes.
Funky. Yeah.
I felt,
you know about that.
Yeah. I absolutely ruined a pair of shoes last year. Thank God this year I was in the booth. I didn't have to deal with it. But, you know, Jeff Bloom, I mean, he never knows what to pack. you know. And they had, it was supposed to be nice weather, and then
it was supposed to be nice.
Yeah, it turned bad in a hurry. Mm. But so let's talk about cloud computing a little bit, and what was your impression of him as he was running?
Well, and I'll tell you, you are smarter than me, Jude, because I didn't really give him too much serious consideration, just because, you know, the horses that have beat him previously, Irish War Cry, J Boy's Echo, horses that I didn't really think were, you know, top horses after performances in the Derby. And, you know, they weren't that great in my opinion. So, and so he was so inexperienced coming into the Preakness. But what a great job Chad Brown did by skipping the Derby, being patient with this horse, and picking one particular race to point him towards. And boy, he got him ready. And what a great ride by Javier Castellano.
Yeah.
That strong finish, boy. I loved it.
It was a great ride, and I kind of feel a little bit sorry for Mark Cassie because
turning
for home, it looked like he was home free.
Three in front, right.
That was brutal, but a good run. And in your defense, I was there. I got to see that horse train, and I think you would have felt the same way when you saw him. You go, wow, he's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll see how he fares down the road. Evidently, looks like he's going to skip the Belmont. Maybe the wise move. We've got to get to a break, and we'll be back in a few minutes. We'll talk to Mr. House.
Spendthrift Stallion, Wicked Strong. The fastest Wood Memorial winner in a decade with a final time of 1:49 1/5, earning a 1:04 buyer speed figure, faster than any Wood Memorial winner in recent years, including Frosted, Verrazano, Gemologist, and Outwork. Hardspun's best son, Wicked Strong, bred 190 mares in 2016, second only to American Pharoah among freshman sires. His first foals are arriving now. Wicked Strong, standing at Spendthrift.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. Or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interests and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
The Belmont Stakes.
It was Creator and Destined right on the wire, and Iran Ortiz raised his whip in victory, but it is very close in the Belmont Stakes.
The third jewel in racing's Triple Crown is right here on HRRN. Saturday, June 10th, Belmont Stakes 149, exclusively on HRRN. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information or to listen live.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
St. John B's on the move on the outside, only got three to make up.
at the top of the lane, a sprint for home, and Ganesh has a good turn of foot, and Ganesh goes. Ashley Love Sugar on the outside, Big John B, Flamboyant joins the fray late as well, Ganesh on the inside, Ashley Love Sugar between them, Big John B, grandstand side, Ashley Love Sugar, Big John B to win it. Big John B and Rafael Bejarano have won it. Ashley Love Sugar second. Ganesh was third. Then Power Ped. Dana's Best. Behind that, Flamboyant, Ladaris, and Little Jerry was last.
Well, that was the dulcet tones of the great Trevor Denman calling Big John B, who's in today's Gold Cup at Santa Anita. That's so hard for me to say. Hollywood Gold Cup was much easier. Gold Cup at Santa Anita today, and that was the 2015 Del Mar Handicap. Big John B, been a very successful horse for owner Michael House. And you know that race, Christina, such history. I mean, the first winner was 1938 Seabiscuit. Did you ever hear him?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Another interesting winner, 1946 Triplicate. And Triplicate was owned by the great dancer Fred Astaire. And
interesting.
You know, Fred Astaire, he loved the races. Mm-hmm. And was once married to Robin Smith, the pioneer girl jockey back in the day.
Yes.
Many years ago, my crush. All the guys had the Farrah Fawcett poster in their bedroom. Not me. I had pictures of Robin Smith.
Robin Smith was in.
So you know how I feel about you. Swaps, the great California horse. Swaps, owned by Rex Ellsworth and ridden by Bill Shoemaker. 1956, Swaps won. Round Table the next year, 1957. Gallant Man. The next year in 1958. I mean, Native Diver won 3 years in a row from 1965 to 1967. He was just one of the fastest horses ever, trained by Hall of Fame trainer Buster Milrick. Ack-Ack, who was owned by Greer Garson, the actress, and her husband Buddy Fogelson. Quack, one of my favorite horses, real tough horse that wasn't very sound, but he was big and strong. Don Pierce used to ride him all the time. Mm-hmm. Kennedy Road, that was a great one. They gave Shoemaker the boot off of Cougar II, who is my favorite horse. That picture that we have on the wall here in the studio with Bill on Cougar II, he was a fantastic horse. And Kennedy Road was the number three horse in the Whittingham barn for that race, and Shoemaker beat them all. That was a great, great day. And my brothers and I, we still talk about that race. Perot, who was an outstanding horse, and then First Dude, the leading sire in Florida. Game On Dude, everybody remembers him. He won the Charlestown Classic too. I was there that night.
He did.
So you know, just a really great race and a lot of history. So it was so nice. I got to catch up with owner Michael House yesterday, and we have a long history together. I've known him for 30 years, and here's what Mr. House had to say about his horse, Big John B. I'm here visiting with my longtime client and good friend Michael House, who has the talented Big John B in the Grade 1 Gold Cup at Santa Anita this weekend. This horse is very special to you, as he's one of the last claims made by the late great trainer Mike Mitchell. Talk about your relationship with Mike and how you acquired this horse.
Well, Mike and I've been good friends and in the business at least 25 years together, and had a lot of ups and downs, good horses and not so good. But he was just a great guy, a great man, and a really good trainer. And near the end there, when he wasn't feeling very good, he had Phil kind of running his stable, and he'd come out when he could. And he called me down there at Keeneland. We were on the farm, and said he had a horse. He thought, man. And so I said, okay. Sounds good. We're down here. So he told me a little bit about Big John B, and sounded good. And so he said, I'll meet you in the paddock and we'll look at him. Well, he never made it to the paddock. Mike Stidham was going to do the actual paperwork on the claim. And so I met Mike Stidham there, and we looked at the horse and everything, and we dropped the slip. And, but Mike, I called him, and he was too sick to come out. And but anyway, it turned out to be a wonderful claim. That day, the horse didn't run a lick. He didn't like that synthetic they had at Keeneland. And then the jock said he just galloped around there, and that's the first time he'd ever been on it, and he's never been back on it. But he's been great. And for the first year or two, Mike called all the shots and where to run him and was in all the win pictures. And it was just a great experience with him. And so it's an emotional horse for me with Mike. And Phil has done a wonderful job. He's learned from Mike, and he's doing a great job with the horse. He's training good. He's in a tough race tomorrow, but Phil says he's training so good we should take a shot.
Yeah.
So that's kind of story on him.
Yeah, Phil D'Amato's done a great job with the horse. And when fans think of Big John B, their mind automatically goes to turf racing, marathon racing. But he's run some incredible races on the dirt.
That's right. Yeah, he's won a couple of grade threes. And we just kind of picked up on that. Phil did in his training. He trained him on the dirt. He said, man, he trains like a champ on the dirt, and we should try him. And he's always done good on the dirt every time we run him. This will be a big test for him tomorrow, but there's a lot of speed in there, which is good for Big John. So see what happens.
Yeah, not surprisingly, jockey Rafael Bejarano opted to ride Cupid for Bob Baffert in the Gold Cup. He may actually go off favored, but you have Hall of Famer Mike Smith in the saddle Saturday. That's got to give you some confidence.
That's right. You know, Mike's won several big races with this horse, a couple of grade twos and things. And so he knows him very well. And he was, I asked Phil if Mike was available, and he said he'd check. And he said, Mike said he'd love to ride him. And so we're glad to have him. And he knows the horse, and you can't get much of a better money rider than him.
Yeah, no, he's on a roll too. The guy just seems to win with everything he gets on. Yeah, I've known you for 30 years, and I know you might have a wager once in a while. Baffert's got the horses to beat in here, but can you make a case for Big John? Can you get him to the winner's circle at a nice price?
Well, we're hoping so. With all the speed in there, we're hoping that Midnight Storm is kind of pushing his limits to a mile and a quarter. And there's about two or three other total front runners. And we're just hoping that they can kind of get cooked and we can make a run at the end like he likes to do. And so, I wouldn't put him in there if we didn't think we had some kind of shot. And he's doing great. I mean, his last work, Phil called me and said, boy, we got to go in that race with this horse. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, everybody's optimistic, and we'll be, of course, watching and rooting. So best of luck in the Gold Cup, and best of luck cashing some tickets.
Thanks, Jude.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Michael House, the owner of Big John B, and what a cool horse he's turned out to be. And it's pretty neat story that that was the last horse that Mike Mitchell picked out to claim, and he's still running today at the tender age of 8 years old.
Yeah, what a great story, Jude. I'm so glad we got to listen to that interview with Mr. House. And, yeah, a special story. You find yourself, you're rooting for the horse now after hearing that. And as Mr. House said, I mean, there's definitely a lot of speed in here for this horse to chase, who's a pretty strong closer. So Should be a great race, but a great story to go along with it.
Yeah, the race kind of sets up for him. Big A and I were talking yesterday on the Naira Betts Stakes preview show that it's one of those things where you don't know if he's fast enough to win it because right. Some of those horses have gaudy speed figures, although he's got like a 102 or something, Brisnet 104, something like that. Yeah. So he's competitive if he runs a race like that. But those horses are pretty quick early and they could, it looks like there could be as many as three horses on the lead going head and head, which I know that wouldn't hurt Mr. House's feelings.
Right.
but he's a cool horse and he's had his issues over the year, but he's in great shape right now, and really looking forward to watching him run tonight. I believe post time is 7:30 Eastern time for that race, mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. we'll be tuned in and see what develops there. Did you look at that race at all? Did you have a chance to?
I did. I briefly, not in depth, but I've definitely been looking at it. Ooh. And so many great household names in this race here. As you mentioned, the history of the race, and you have American Freedom, Cupid, Big John B, and Hard Aces. You know, some very familiar names people will recognize, and it's going to be, it's a mile and a quarter, so there should be. Challenging to some horses, beneficial to others. Definitely a great race.
Yeah, what'd you make of Cupid coming back, going a mile and a quarter? Baffert trying to redo Charlie
right.
Whittingham here.
I know. Seriously. You know, Cupid is an interesting horse. That is a lot to ask. First time back since September, running there in the Pennsylvania Derby. It's his first time back going a mile and a quarter. Not quite the ask there, yeah. But
biting off a lot.
Yeah, most definitely, and it's not an easy race. So I don't know. I think I'll give Cupid one before I put my money on.
Sounds good. Well, you know what time it is?
What time is it?
It's time for the Lexus Legends of the Turf, sponsored by the Lexus Store of Lexington, and when we get through with that, we'll be back.
On June 9th, 1956, the field went postward for the running of the $50,000 Argonaut Handicap at Hollywood Park. In the field were Langoland Farms Porterhouse, who had whipped his chief rival in this field, Swaps, by a head in the last previous meeting of the two in the Californian, the very speedy Bobby Brocato with the master craftsman Johnny Longdon in the irons, and, of course, Swaps, who had come off an injury as a three-year-old to make an attempt at a third world record. Swaps had already notched world records for 1/16 miles and 1 mile and 70 yards. The Hollywood Park had been especially groomed to be as fast as a one-arm paper hanger in a four-room apartment with a two-hour deadline. The anticipation was high amongst the patrons on this day for the import of a possible record-breaking performance. Trainer Mish Tenney said flatly and openly that his horse, Swaps, would lower Citation's world mark of 1:33.3 for the flat mile, a record that had stood since 1949. As the horses broke from the starting gate, it was expected that the very speedy Bobby Brocato with Longdon in the saddle would go to the front to try to steal it. But Bill Shoemaker got Swaps out of the box like a rocket down along the fence, and he was not about to allow himself to get shut off by the speed horses outside of him going into the turn. Swaps established a clear lead going into the clubhouse turn. Shoemaker realized Longdon was resigned to playing the waiting game, settling in just off the pace with Bobby Brocato. Schumacher turned that strategy to his own advantage while keeping lots of horse in reserve, setting the early fractions. Swaps had an open lead all the way down the backside while turning in a 22 3/4, 45-1 for the half, and 108-2 for the first six panels. As the field swung through the far turn in the glistening California sunlight, Longdon made his expected move with Bobby Brocato, and with a quick burst of speed got his mount set up to Shoemaker's boot on the leader. The shoe went to the stick, cracking the flank of Swaps with a hard lick, and Swaps responded to again move clear. The Rex Ellsworth-owned four-year-old held sway during the run down the lane, and all eyes were now on the teletimer, which flashed 1:33.1 as he hit the wire, a new world record. Bobby Brocato had been beaten by barely a length in a supremely game effort, and Porterhouse, in receipt of 9 pounds from Swaps, was 6 lengths further back in third. Swaps had clocked the last half mile in a most impressive 48 flat. It was a third world record he had chalked up, and he was, in no uncertain terms, to be regarded as one of the all-time greats on the racetrack. He was blessed with class, courage, and a tremendous amount of ability, a sure-fire recipe for greatness. You know, not all fast horses are great, but all great horses are fast, and Swaps was undeniably fast indeed. Many observers on the scene at Hollywood Park on that June day in 1956 felt Swaps could have gone faster if he'd been pushed in the early part of the race, but it was breathtakingly fast as it was. June 9, 1956, at Hollywood Park, in the Argonaut Handicap, the day Swaps set his third world mark.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
You know, it was right about 2 years ago at this time that a new restaurant opened on Main Street, and it's quickly become a favorite for anybody that wants the best steaks and the best seafood. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood. They were just named one of the best steakhouses in the nation by TastingTable.com, a very big national website. Why don't you give them a visit? It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood on Main Street. TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud. What do Catch a Glimpse, Beach Patrol, Bobby's Kitten, and Force the Pass all have in common? They're all Grade 1 winners, and they all ran in the now Grade 2 $500,000 Penn Mile. Join us Saturday, June 3rd at Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse for what promises to be another exciting renewal. First post for this special day of racing is 3:45 Eastern. Call 717-469-3235 to nominate or for more information.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Power.
But Tapazar is just plain too good today, and it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Cory Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Gainsway Stallion Tapazar is a Grade 1 winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of Champion Untappable, and is Tappet's only Grade 1 winning miler at stud. Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10.5 lengths at Churchill Downs at 2, went wire to wire to win the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at 3, and was a runaway winner of the Grade 2 San Fernando and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4.
Power.
Passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Okay, this is Carl Nasker, and I listen to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Leela's Gift on the outside gets closer, though, and these two go by the quarter pole together. On My Toes and Leela's Gift. Off the turn together with On My Toes in front and digging down. Leela's Gift trying to surge up alongside, putting in a bid with a furlong to go. On My Toes, tenuous lead. Leela's Gift on the outside. These two locked in battle with 100 yards to go. Leela's Gift switching leads. On My Toes battling on, but has lost a lead to Leela's Gift, who opens up late in the game and is on to victory, winning it by three. Leela's Gift was first. On My Toes was second. Fairybrook was third. Global Affair was fourth, and Tiff was fifth.
That was the magnificent Travis Stone calling the victory by Leela's Gift. This is Jude Feld in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studio. I'm joined this morning by Christina McManigill on the Equine Forum Show. And now we have a very special guest. Kent Sweezy is with us, and he is the trainer of Leela's Gift. And congratulations, Kent. That was your first lifetime victory.
Good talking to you. I wish you could see the smile on my face when I heard that call.
Yeah, we kind of set that up for you. We wanted to put you in a good mood on this Saturday morning.
That sure did it.
Talk about the feeling when she was coming down the stretch.
I knew that she makes a move. She makes sort of a sustained bid the whole way around the turn. And I thought as long as the horse in front of her doesn't get too far in front of her, she'd mow her down. But when she switched leads about the eighth pole and sort of lugged in a little bit, I was hoping that we could get her hit left-handed a couple times and straighten it back out. And once he did, she drew away, and she actually won. She won by three in the end, which was pretty nice. So it was an awesome feeling, and having my parents there and doing it at Churchill was really, really special.
Yeah, you're a Kentucky boy, and your home track, so to speak. I don't know if you consider Keeneland your home track or Churchill, but either way,
kind of both.
Yeah, you really can't you can't knock either one of those. And no. Was it extra special because your dad bred this horse?
It was, you know, my girlfriend Brittany, who works with us, and she's a huge part of the operation. I think that when I first met her a couple of years ago, the first thing we did was go, as we were driving from New York down to Florida, we stopped at the farm and just sort of went around, looked at some horses, just messing around. And Kathy, my stepmother, said, you ought to go out there and look at this first Samurai filly out of a mare that your dad and you bought. And so we bought the mare a couple of years back. And so we go out and look at her, and it was cool to see her because she was just a big chestnut thing out in the field. And then next thing we know, she's being broken, and Buff Bradley had her for the first few starts. And that was the whole plan, was to, once I started out on my own, that I would eventually get her. And it just happened to be that Buff sent her in, and she looked really good, and she had run a couple decent races down at Tampa. And Buff actually said that you ought to try this filly on the dirt. So I said, well, we'll see how she goes. And so we trained her at Palm Meadows all winter, and Jimmy Jerkins was kind enough to give us a stall. So we had a chance to build up a bankroll before we got up here to Kentucky. And she trained really good on the dirt, and we never even put her on the grass down there because she was doing so good, and I thought the time was right to put her in for a tag where she could find her friends. And I tried and tried and tried to get a maiden 50 to go here at Churchill, and it wouldn't go. So we said, well, let's just, you know, she needs to run. She's been training for too long. She needs to run. So we put her in over her head in the maiden special weight going seven, and she ran okay. She showed a lot more speed than I thought she would have. And so, again, we kept trying to get a race to go forward and couldn't get one. So we put her in on the grass, and knowing that the forecast said rain. So one way or the other, she was going to run, but I think her preferred surface is definitely dirt, even though she has a good turf pedigree in her second dam, too. So things kind of worked out for us, and the jockey change, we had Sean Bridgman to start with, and I didn't realize that he had a call with Dale Romans, who didn't draw in the race. So once all those scratches came, Romans drew in, Sean Bridgman had to ride that one, so we were trying to find a jock, and it was something that all these guys have done, whether it's Jimmy or Owen or Christoph, whenever you're dropping a horse down, they wanted to put the top rider on every time. And so it just happened to be that James Graham was open, and he was kind enough to stick around. He rode two races that day, one earlier on the card. So we really had to beg him to stick around. But it was definitely worth it in the end, and I couldn't have been happier with the way he rode her. And really, I couldn't be more thankful for him sticking around.
Congratulations, Kent. So exciting. You will never forget your first victory. And I hope you bet, because she paid $24 that day.
Christina, it's funny you ask that. I'm not a huge bettor. And when I was working for these guys, it's you tend to, when you bet a horse and it gets beat, you're usually upset with yourself, mainly. Then you go to the jockey, and then you go to the horse. And so I kind of thought, you know what, when I start training, I'm going to try to not bet too much, because all it's going to do is just frustrate me more if they lose. So I didn't bet her, but my dad bet her a little bit, and he gave a ticket to the Hot Walker, and so everybody was pretty happy afterwards.
Yeah, talk about that, how your crew reacted to that victory. They had to be over the moon.
Yeah, you know, and they all come back in the afternoons, and Brittany and I come back every night and feed at 7:30, and it's just, they see us doing it. And so it's one thing to just see somebody do it, and you go out and you can win a couple races here and there, but to sort of win a race kind of right off the bat was really cool. It validated all the hard work we put into it. You know, when we ran that filly at Keeneland, and it was over her head, but I was frustrated with myself because all the work we put into it, and then for her to run like that. So it was nice to come back, and the whole crew was excited, and they all said how good she was doing. I mean, you can tell how a horse is doing just by being around them. And, you know, when you come back at night and she's got her head out looking for feed, and the Hot Walker can't hold her when she's dragging him around the shed rail in the morning. And so it all signals were pointing that she was going to run a good race, and she did for us.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Now, our producer, Lee Delapina, he's a guy that knows a lot of things about a lot of things, and he was talking about
people like that.
Yeah, he's an amazing guy, and he was talking about a cartoon animated thing called Futurama, and there right. was a mutant called Leela who gets a gift. Is that related to the horse's name?
Funny you ask that, actually. I hope the co-owner Leela Brown's not listening to this right now. So we bred this filly, and my dad and stepmother Kathy have had some friends for a long time down in Georgia, I believe, and their name is Jim and Leela Brown, and so they offered just a piece of this filly to them a year or two ago, and so Jim Brown gave it to his wife Leela, and they named her Leela's Gift. So that's the story there. She definitely wasn't a mutant, but I think she's pretty happy. She actually, they put a video on Facebook of them watching the race, and you could just tell how excited they were when she was crossing the wire.
That's so great.
They were pretty excited, and this is their first horse, and we had said initially that we try to keep her maiden special. But it's hard to explain to somebody who doesn't know much about racing the importance of making sure the horse fits where you're going to run it, especially for me starting out. You know, a lot of young trainers get horses sent to them, and they're not allowed to drop the horse in because it's got a sentimental value, or it's got a great pedigree, or it showed so much promise at two. A lot of different factors will come into it, but people don't want to drop them in. And so we had to convince them that she won't get taken, this is where she belongs, and we need to get some money back. She's been training for a while, so let's try to get some money out of it. And they did. And so I think we'll probably try to protect her one more race, maybe take her to Indiana and run her in an allowance race up there, or try to find a starter someplace for her. But I don't think we're going to. I think we've seen a new Leela's Gift, so we're excited to move forward with her.
Well, that's cool that they got to break their maiden along with you, and I'm sure that's something they'll never forget either.
Oh, I'm sure not. The first call after the race, I'm walking back to the test barn, and the first call is obviously to the owner, thanking them for their patience and that, and then my second call was to Jimmy Jerkins. And Jimmy can be kind of an emotional guy, and so can I. And so it was just nice, you know. Jimmy cheers for me all the time. You know, every time he sees a horse of mine work or sees one in, he's really quick to say good luck and give his take on the race. So he was really, really excited for me.
Yeah, that's great. It's nice to have a mentor that still pays attention after you're long gone, so to speak. Very cool.
Exactly.
Well, what's next? You got some more horses in the wings?
Yeah, I'm actually sitting up here in the grandstand right now watching a couple two-year-olds go that picked up at Timonium. And so that's exciting. And then hopefully go down to OBS June and pick up some more.
Cool. So if somebody wants to get a hold of you and wants to get in on the Kent Sweezy bandwagon, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, no website yet, but I answer my cell phone and I text and all that. So my number is 859-421-6829, and I'm on Twitter. I've got a big presence on Twitter. I think that's sometimes Twitter's better than a website, really, because people check it all the time. You know, and like Marty McGee from the Racing Forum asked me how many texts I got. I got 100 texts, but I probably got 1,000 different tweets and retweets and things like that from jockeys and trainers and owners and friends. So it's not tough to get a hold of me.
Okay, well that's good to know. And ladies, he's got a girlfriend that works with him, so don't be calling him. All hours of the night. Don't get him in trouble. He's got work to do. He has to get up early.
Please don't.
Lots of things going on. And I'll give our show Trainer Talk a shameless plug. If you're interested in listening to more about Kent, his life, and his horses, you can go to our website, horseracingradio.net, and go to the shows button, hit Trainer Talk, and you'll see the Trainer Talk with Kent Sweezy. You can download it on your phone and listen to it when you're flying or while you're jogging or whatever, or right there on your computer at your leisure. So take a listen to that. It was a fun show. We had a good time doing it. Well, best of luck, Kent. Great.
Dude, thanks very much.
Great start.
To you guys, you and Christina, thanks a lot. And hopefully I can be on again.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We'll keep following you. We may not be Jimmy Jerkins, but we'll keep an eye on you.
I appreciate it, guys. Have a good day.
All right. You
good
too.
Luck.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. He's a really great guy, and he does do the work. You know, a lot of times it's easy when you don't have a big stable or something to let things go, but he's on top of it all the time. And he's got a horse for my brother, and he's doing well, and he's a really good guy. So
it is awesome to see young people finding success here in this great sport, and obviously he works. He was watching two-year-olds train while he was here on the show with us.
So. Yeah, when I got a hold of him yesterday, I said, I don't know if these times are going to work for you, and he said, Jude, whatever you need, and because I told him, I said, we have a bigger name, Javier Castellano, I'm sorry. But you're going to have to work around his schedule. He said, that's fine. And we're hoping to have Javi on a little later, but we don't know for sure. He had a lot of horses to work today. So, but it was nice of him to accommodate. And he said, even if I'm watching the horses, I can still talk and watch at the same time. So he's ambidextrous, evidently.
Apparently so.
Multitasking this morning. But he's a really cool guy, and I'm glad he won that race. He was kind of frustrated not being able to get in races because we had talked about that a couple of times, and it's just sometimes it's tough. You know, training horses is not easy. Everybody thinks, oh, all you do is get up in the morning, go drink coffee, shoot the breeze with your fellow trainers, and, you know, it's an easy job. It's one of the most difficult things you can do. Trust me on that. Well, once again, it's time for a break. And this is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Triple Crown, of which we only have one race left.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor.
a six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Amalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Airdrie Stud is proud to announce the arrival of Upstart, the best 2- and 3-year-old son of leading sire Flatter.
But Upstart is pulling away, and he is pulling away impressively to win the Holy Bowl.
Upstart became the East Coast leading Kentucky Derby contender after demolishing a star-studded field in the Grade 2 Holy Bowl and retired a multiple graded stakes winner and six times Grade 1 placed with earnings of more than $1.7 million. Airdrie Stud's Upstart. Think about it.
Racing fans, make this Memorial Day weekend an unforgettable one right here at Santa Anita, the Great Race Place. We've got world-class racing, and be sure to bring the kids to our annual Santa Anita Infield Carnival on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And don't forget, Monday Memorial Day is also Dollar Day at Santa Anita. This Saturday, we've got two iconic Grade 1 events, the $500,000 Gold Cup at Santa Anita to be run at a mile and a quarter, and the $300,000 Gainley for fillies and mares at a mile and one-eighth on turf. First post time is at 1 o'clock. Admission gates open at 11. Santa Anita. Great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's.
Lady Eli is right there in contention on the outside, and she's moving up near the front as they come to the top of the stretch. See, Khaleesi goes up too, and then it is on blow to the inside, final furlong. Sentiero Italia, here's Lady Eli. And she ranges up alongside. See, Khaleesi is third. It is Lady Eli. Sentio Italia tries to dig in on the inside, but she's going to do it. Lady Eli has won the Flower Bowl. Sentiero Italia was second. See, Khaleesi was third. And Strike Charmer was fourth. In a final time of 1 minute 59.85 seconds, Lady Eli is back.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. This is Jude Feld, and I'm in our Lexington Jimmy John studio with Christina McManigill and Lady Eli. She's running today at Santa Anita in the Gamely Grade 1, and that's part of our poll question. You can go to at HRRN on Twitter and weigh in. Who has the best chance to win the Grade 1 Gamely at Santa Anita today? Lady Eli, Avenge, or somebody else. So check it out.
Who did you vote for?
I haven't voted yet.
Oh, you haven't voted yet.
Have you voted?
I did.
And who did you vote for?
Well, me and Anthony were talking yesterday about it on Express Bet Radio. And he brought up a very good point that Avenge is really the only speed in the race. And it's a short field. And oftentimes in short fields, you see that the speed will get an easy lead, and I would not be surprised in the least if Avenge can take them gate to wire. So
yeah,
that's who I voted for.
She's a very nice filly. I mean, there's no question that she can run. I mean, she's a grade one winner. She does have all the speed, and she's got the inside draw, which is very good at Santa Anita. So, but it's interesting. In the poll, Lady Eli, 60%.
Yeah.
So she figured to be odds on, looks like, according to HR and Nation, and that's with 25 votes. So, I mean, the polls haven't closed yet, but we're going to project Lady Eli.
Probably where it's heading, right?
Yeah. Avenge has 32%, and others have only 8%. So looks like those two are pretty much standouts. It looked like that on paper a little bit.
Definitely. So. Definitely. And we do actually have a comment on there, too. Mark Stanton says he likes Goodyear for Roses.
All right. Well, that's good. Maybe that's your trifecta box.
There you go. There you go.
I don't know if you need to box it, though. I don't know. We'll see what happens. They don't run the races on paper, that's for sure.
This is true.
So I want to talk about you for a minute.
Uh-oh.
I'm not going to tell everything I know. But a lot of people, may not know who you are, may not know your background. One thing I got to say that I'm tremendously impressed with is the fact that you have now been the host of 99 Jock Talk shows on HRRN. And that is so amazing to me because, I mean, it doesn't seem like that show's been on that long, but what a run. That's fantastic. If you were in television, you'd be a billionaire now.
I wish. What do you do? But it is honestly, I'm surprised myself when I think about the number. It's like, oh my gosh, seriously. And time flies when you're having fun. So, you know, I'm a retired jockey myself. And so staying involved in the game and getting to sit down for an hour and talk to so many of the jocks I know and used to ride with, it's just a wonderful thing for me. And I'm glad I get to share that with HRRN Nation and have a lot of fun with it.
Well, it was a natural fit, I thought. And you have, like, one of the sexiest voices in radio. I just love your voice. I love listening to it. I don't know. There's something about it. It's
You're
just
making me blush.
It's really, really good. Okay. I won't make you blush. But I mean, over the years, you know, you've developed your style. And sometimes the interviews are a little tough because a lot of jocks aren't used to being on the radio or you know, they get a little nervous, which is really funny because they'll break a 1,200-pound animal out of the gate, go 40 miles an hour, but they come on the radio with Christina McManigal and they dummy up like they didn't know how to talk.
And it's so true, Jude. You either have the guys who can't wait to tell their story and they're so excited and they just can't stop talking. Nick Bush I had on this week, and he was one of those guys. He was so excited and loved being on the show and talking about his story. And then you have other guys who they're bashful, I guess, when they get a microphone in front of them, because you're right. I mean, they can
make your job really hard.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, it's a really fun show. And if any of our listeners haven't had a chance, there's all the 99 shows are up there on the website. You can pick your favorite jocks and download them or listen to them on the website or your tablet or however you want to do it, but horseracingradio.net. But talk about your jockey career a little bit. You were very successful. You rode at a lot of racetracks. You rode a lot of winners. Your career was shortened by injury, but mm-hmm. But talk about how you got started and what turns you on about horse racing.
Yeah, well, I kind of just fell into it, Jude. I'll be honest with you. I was a young kid and worked for a gentleman who had bred and raced horses at Ellis Park. I grew up in Southern Illinois, and he threw me on the back of a horse when I was 12 and galloped this filly around the field. He said, "You should be a jockey." And I never forgot that. And Chris McCarron opened up the jockey school here in town. And I was accepted to that. Spent 2 years there. Followed that by working for Todd Pletcher for a while. And that was an incredible experience, galloping some of those animals. I mean, that was I was so spoiled that when I started riding races, I was like, wait, these are not the same. These are not the same kind of horses, you know. But then I started rode my first race at Churchill, went to Tampa. I was leading apprentice at Tampa. Followed that by I went to Suffolk Downs in Boston, and pretty much the entire East Coast following that. Went to Parks, Penn, Delaware. Finished my riding career in Maryland, which was probably my favorite place to ride. The Maryland was incredible. Great horseman there, and had a lot of success there. But as you mentioned, unfortunately, I had multiple injuries throughout my career, which I had to retire at a very young age. So I had a hip replacement, and so led me here.
Well, we'll take a break for 10 seconds to identify the stations, and we'll be back with Christina McManigill, round two.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Malagasy has the lead. I'm Trap going to try to gun him down on the wire. It's these two. Petrov is third. Malagasy, I'm Trap. It is Malagasy to win the Rebel.
Final furlong of the Toyota Bluegrass. IREP with the lead. Practical Joke giving all he's got. IREP. 31-1 wins the Toyota Bluegrass with Julian Leperoux aboard.
Originating from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum. Presented by FarmPaint.com.
Royal Mow and Gormley battling strongly. Gormley looming into the lead now. Gormley takes the lead. And Gormley wins the San Anita Derby.
Always Dreaming set down for the drive by John Velasquez. And he's moving away. State of Honor is up into second. An impressive edge. Canavera too little too late. But inside the 16th pole, the 2017 Florida Derby to Todd Pletcher. And Always Dreaming. They won it by four in the end.
Now, here's Jude Feld and Christina McManigill.
Welcome back, HRN Nation. We're in round two, the second half of the show. This is Jude Feld, and I'm in our Jimmy John's of Lexington studio with Christina McManigill. And we've had a lot of fun this morning. It's been a treat to share this show with you.
Same here, Jude. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, we're having a good time, and now we're going to have on one of our favorite guests, a guy who our listeners know quite well. He needs no introduction, but he is in charge of marketing at Gulfstream Park and does a fabulous job. Mike Nyman on the line. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing great. Great to hear from you, Jude and Christina.
It's probably another beautiful day in Florida, huh?
It's another beautiful day, but of course, you know, we're hitting our stride now. It's starting to get nice and hot.
Yeah. Well, it's warm here, but it's very gray, and it's supposed to pour down rain all weekend long. So we'll be watching Gulfstream Park and wishing we were there. What's been going on down there?
Well, it's having a great spring summer meet. We've been really, really busy. It's been great. Another increase in handle we've had so far. So we're very pleased with that. Of course, we've got some big days coming up. This weekend, of course, it's the holiday weekend, and we will have racing on Monday. We'll have 115 first post today, tomorrow, and Monday. And then we come up very shortly, July 1st, we'll have the Summit of Speed here. Looking forward to that. It's going to be a great day. We'll have two big stakes that day that are Breeders' Cup winning you're in, which is the Princess Rooney and the Smile Handicap races that day. So we're looking forward to that. It's going to be a huge July 4th weekend. And then something that's brand new that's going to start this Friday, we're going to go to what we call Twilight Racing. It's a little bit of later post time, so we'll start at 2:15 on Fridays now, and we'll be going right up to 7 o'clock. And we'll have a lot of things going on track on those Friday nights. So we're going to have all kinds of drawings and things and contests for the racing customers. And at around 7 o'clock after the last race, we're going to have all kinds of bands each week, local, popular local bands here in South Florida, all kinds of tribute bands and other type of nights. And we're going to have all kinds of food specials and drink specials, so family fun nights in the village. So there's going to be a lot going on Fridays, and that starts next Friday, June 2nd, and that'll run right through September 1st.
Well, you always come up with these innovative ideas, and you are probably better at getting butts in the seats than anybody I know. You always seem to hit it right on the nail. And what gave you that idea for the Twilight Racing and all those events?
Well, actually, they've wanted to do something a little bit different here. One of the problems that we have here in Florida is that, based on our archaic gambling laws here, we're not allowed to race after 7 o'clock. And that was pretty much because years ago, when there was other paramutuals for the dogs and High Lie and Harness, which were basically nighttime paramutuals, they wanted to give them the exclusivity. So we're probably getting to a point, I think, hopefully they're going to change the law, and we will have actual night racing. So we wanted to try to do something to try to get a little bit of a later crowd. People looking to do things here in the summer, and since, you know, we offer free parking and admission, it's a great way to, you know, to come out. And one of the cool things that we're going to do is, for the racing customers, the first 5 races on Friday night, they save any losing tickets that are valued at $10 or more. They'll drop them in a drum, and at 7 o'clock after the last race, we're going to draw for things like flat-screen TVs, smartwatches, things like that. And then for the whole 14 weeks, all the tickets that are in that drum from each week, on the last week, we're going to be giving away a car lease for 2 years to the lucky winner that night. So all this is going to all come together. We just have a lot of things to offer people, and hopefully, you know, for people that, you know, maybe more casual or not, you know, big racing fans, it gives them a chance to come out. They can enjoy the music and the food and beverage and get to see a couple of races, you know, late in the day. So it's just another thing that we're going to try out, try to, you know, bring in some new fans. And that's what we've been very successful at doing here.
Well, that's one of the best things about Gulfstream Park, in my opinion, is the atmosphere and the party-like feeling that you get when you come in. I mean, all the bars are great. You've got great staff, fantastic bartenders. You've got excellent food. You know, the people that are walking around Gulfstream, they always have a smile on their face, and sometimes they even look like they're dancing around there. They're feeling so good. And that's a feeling that you only see there, really.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's great. I feel so blessed to be part of all this and be able to work for a company that, you know, really is positioned, really, I say, the only company today in America that is really behind horse racing and, as you can see, has invested in it, you know, very heavily. When I first started here 7 years ago, and I've mentioned this before, you know, for a lot of the old-time customers and players weren't real happy with seeing the old-time Gulfstream kind of get knocked down and then rebuilt. But Frank Stronach had a vision, and you know, what we talked about, what he had talked about 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago is all coming really to pass now, because we have a facility that is not archaic, that doesn't just exist 4 months a year. You know, we're busy there 12 months a year with 10 months with live racing and, you know, a casino in our village. And it just gives an opportunity to give a full entertainment destination. We like to say, you know, there's something there for everybody, and you're going to see a lot more going on development on the facility. We'll have hotels are going to be built on the property. They have these high-end movie theaters going in next year. We've got this karaoke place coming in that's opening in a couple of weeks that's going to be very popular, along with the bowling alley that we have, which is, and I say bowling alley for us, you know, older timers kind of have a different vision, but this is the new time bowling alley. And it's just become a very, very popular venue. So the property is just, you know, it's just going great, and I'm really proud of it. It's just a great thing to be part of.
Yeah, you can start out Saturday morning, you know, at breakfast, and go all the way till closing time at 2 a.m. So it's really cool.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
You got the energy, we'll provide the fun.
There you go. Well, speaking of fun, you got a couple of nice stakes today, and I know you're not above handicapping. You're actually quite good at it. Longtime horse player and fan of our sport. What can you tell us about the stakes today at Gulfstream?
Well, I hate to tell you this, but I'm not prepared today for this, because this is a rare day for me, Jude. Actually, I'm off today because I'm heading to Orlando shortly with my wife and my daughter. It's my brother-in-law's 50th birthday today, and it's a surprise party for him. So I took off today, and I was so busy this week that I had no time yesterday to actually look at the form and really look over the races. So I'm going to have to leave it up to you and Christina to do that.
All right. Well, we'll get to that later in the show, but you've got the musical romance and you've got the Christmas Pass Stakes, both Philly races. So it's Ladies' Day at Gulfstream Park, and it's a really good card as usual. And you guys have one of the best handicapping staffs. You've got Jason and Acacia and Ronnie, and they do such a great job, and they've got to be part of the reason that the handle's going up, because they're so intelligent about the races and help the fans a lot in their gambling.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, and they've become very, very popular. I get a lot of great emails about them. And one of the things it's interesting that you brought this up, Jude, one of the things that I'm doing with Ron this summer is with him and I are going to do a little tour around the state. And we're going to visit between 8 and 10 facilities over the next 3 months on different Saturdays, where Ron's going to go up and give them handicapping tips. And these are the simulcasting facilities around Florida, the dog tracks, the high lies, and those type of venues. And they're all really looking forward to it. We're promoting it before he comes up there. And we just think it's another way to just ingratiate the fans to Gulfstream and, you know, bring Ron out and take him out to the fans. So that's something we got going on all summer. If you're in one of those venues around the state, in Jacksonville, Daytona, or Sarasota, you know, check it out. And like I said, Ron will be visiting most of those places in July and August.
What a fantastic idea. And Ronnie's such a great ambassador for our sport. And even though people don't know your face as well, because you're not on television all the time, but you are too. And I think you guys could really help Gulfstream a ton by doing that little tour.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. And, you know, it's just another way to, you know, get racing out there. And actually, I just mentioned the first week is next week from today. We'll be at the OBS in Ocala. So those of you who are within the sound of the voice of Ocala there, you know, come on out. Ron will be there all day. He's going to bring his tip sheets. And I've got some swag for all the customers that come out that day. So we're kicking it off next Saturday at OBS in Ocala.
Fantastic idea. Well, we'll let you go. We know you got a birthday party to go to. I hope your brother-in-law is not a listener, or otherwise the cat's out of the bag.
Oh, well.
But have a great day, and thanks for spending some time with us on your day off. You didn't have to do that, but we appreciate it.
No, I appreciate it. Great to be with you guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Nyman, the poobah of publicity at Gulfstream Park, and man, he just comes up with some fantastic ideas.
I tell you what, Jude, I have not been to Gulfstream Park in a very long time, and that's about time I get down there, because bowling, karaoke, are you serious?
You should see that bowling alley. That bowling alley's off the hook. It's got neon lights everywhere.
And,
I mean, it's absolutely amazing when you think about it. Yeah, it's a cool place. I you know, when they first built it, I loved the old Gulfstream.
Right.
You know, I'm an old guy, and I used to sit in Arnold Winnick's box, the great Arnold Winnick, one of the great trainers of all time and super Florida trainer. And he had a box on the finish line, and I had use of that. And, you know, I loved it. And there was a bar right off the paddock, so the trainers would saddle their horses. They'd come in to get a drink or a water or something, and sometimes you'd get a good tip, you'd hear some information in there, and it was lovely. I mean, it was really cool. And when they changed Gulfstream around, I was not a big fan at first, but it is totally different to me now. I love Gulfstream Park. I love going there. I love the energy.
Yeah.
I mean, the stuff I was talking to Mike about, I wasn't blowing smoke because it's Mike. I just really enjoy the racing there, and the way that place is, and the energy. You never get tired at Gulfstream Park because there's always something going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, I'm old guy, you know.
No,
I should be taking
on
a nap around 3 o'clock, you know, but I'm like, whoa, this is Gulfstream. This is great. And it's just a very high energy place. And I love the fact, like, after the races, you can go to dinner, and even after dinner, you go out and the people are just milling around, and they're doing all these things, these events, and they've got stuff for the kids. And, you know, you can be there all day and all night, and it's just really, really cool.
Well, and what I love is that it's bringing people to the racetrack who might not normally go to the racetrack. So, it's introducing them to horse racing, and I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, what really sold me, one day I was, we usually stay at the beautiful Hampton Inn across the street from Gulfstream Park, and you can walk right across the street, yeah. And it's fantastic. So you can lay out by the pool, you're going on at 4, you can leave at 3, or just all set. Perfect. So I'm walking in, it's Florida Derby Day. This goes back, like, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years, I can't remember, but a guy and his wife are getting out of their car in the parking lot, and they're going to the mall, and he says to her, I think the Florida Derby is today. And she says, oh, I don't know. And he says, yeah, he says, I think I saw that on the sign coming in. He said, you know, I'll go shopping with you for a while. He says, but I want to make sure that I go watch the Florida Derby, because that's where all the Kentucky Derby horses mm-hmm. run. Mm-hmm. She says, okay, that sounds like fun, right? And this is all going on in front of me. And I told the guy he was right, the Florida Derby was that day, and told him what time the race was so he could watch and whatever. And then I'm walking upstairs and I'm thinking to myself, you know, this is what Mr. Stronach had as a vision, mm-hmm. right? People go to the mall, they might go to the races, and this is it in action. And once that little vignette happened to me, I was all on board with Gulfstream Park, and I've really come to appreciate it. And you know, it's a great place in the wintertime to get out.
Oh my goodness.
If you live where it snows, like here in Lexington, it's not a bad place to be in January.
Not at all.
So yeah, it's cool, and I'm glad to be able to have a chance to go there during the winter. Well, you know what time it is now? It's time for the Blood Horse News Update. Multiple graded stakes winner Destin, runner-up in last year's Belmont Stakes presented by Naira Betts, is set to make his first start in nearly 9 months when he goes to post May 28th in a mile and a 16th allowance optional claiming race at Belmont Park. Owned by Twin Creeks Racing and Eclipse Thoroughbred Partners, Destin has been cooling his heels since running ninth in the Traverse Stakes August 27th. He's a multiple stakes winner and former Triple Crown candidate, and we are looking forward to watching Destin at Belmont Park. That's your Blood Horse News Update for Saturday morning. And Destin.
Wow,
pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Kind of forgot about him when I saw that. I go, ooh. Who knew?
Yeah.
Time for another break. And this is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5.
Shackelford. Won or placed in 10 graded stakes.
Shackelford's got the lead. Shackelford Animal Kingdom. Shackelford has done it.
Won three grade ones.
One from on the go. Shackelford is still there. They're coming down to the finish. And Shackelford.
115 buyer speed figures.
But the one who's got the courage in spades is Shackelford. He's out in front. Shackelford.
Shackelford. Visit DarbyDan.com.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
International super sire Warfront has added even more graded stakes winners to his record, including recent two-year-old sensations Roly Poly, War Decree, and Brave Anna. With four Grade 1 winners last year, and a growing list of graded stakes horses this year, the son of Danzig and world's number one sire of two-year-olds continues his reign among the globe's most influential stallions. Warfront at Claiborne Farm.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Sense of Occasion down the outside. Star Exhibit, Sense of Occasion. Sense of Occasion's going to win the Durban Cup. Sense of Occasion by a length and a half.
Well, you got to love those Australian race calls. And Sense of Occasion scoring in the Grade 1 Doomben Cup over the weekend, becoming the eighth Grade 1 winner for Darley Stallion Street Sense. And that winning effort makes him your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Street Sense, the first horse to win both the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and Kentucky Derby. Standing for $45,000, Street Sense has a higher lifetime percentage of Grade 1 horses from foals than Distorted Humor, Ghost Sapper, Pioneer of the Nile, Tis Now, Kitten's Joy, Candy Ride, Malibu Moon, and Into Mischief. In fact, no stallion at less than $75,000 can match him. To learn more about Street Sense and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And they're into the stretch, and it's Classic Empire turning for home with a 2.5-length lead. Cloud Computing has moved into second. Always Dreaming has dropped back through the field. They're coming into the final furlong. Classic Empire, here's Cloud Computing going for the upset. Classic Empire digs in. Cloud Computing draws alongside. They come to the finish together. Noses apart. Cloud Computing has defeated Classic Empire and the Preakness. Senior Investment was third, and Always Dreaming finished near the rear of the field. So it is Javier Castellano getting the Preakness with Cloud Computing just over Classic Empire in the Preakness Stakes.
Well, that was Larry Colmus with the call of the Preakness, and a fantastic race and an excellent race call. We were hoping to have Javier Castellano on, but he's working horses this morning at Belmont. Our producer Lee's put in a call to him, and hopefully he'll get back to us. But in the meantime, there's a fantastic Grade 1 at Santa Anita Park today, the Gold Cup at Santa Anita. And Christina, we were talking about your previous life as a jockey. And when you go to handicap a race as a rider, what's the process? Where do you start? How do you do it?
Well, when I rode, I would always obviously handicap the races in the room more to see how the race would set up, to see how the pace scenario would work out. And so I really start out now. You know, I do Express Bet Radio with Anthony Stabile on Wednesdays and Fridays. So now when I'm handicapping the races for that show, that's still, I've had practice riding, you know, handicapping to see how a race will set up. That's how I start. That's how I start to see how the race will unfold.
So you visualize, or however you do it, the what they call the race shape. Like,
yes.
A lot of handicappers talk about the race shape, who's going to make the lead, who's going to come from behind, who's going to, you know, sit in the middle, that type of thing. Is that what you're talking about?
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay. Yeah. So did you look at the Gold Cup at Santa Anita?
Oh, I did. And, oh, definitely.
And so I'm dying to hear what your analysis is.
Well, and we just heard the interview with Mr. House earlier, and I think he's exactly right. I think there's definitely a lot of speed in here. You have American Freedom putting the blinkers back on. With the blinkers, he showed quite a bit of speed in the past. You have Four Prime Attraction, kind of a long shot with what you could call some cheap speed there. The Five Midnight Storm has quite a lot of speed as well. And so even Cupid can even show some speed. So you have a lot of speed here, which makes me want to think we're going a mile and a quarter. I'm looking at the closers in here, to be honest with you. I think if a pace stool sets up on the front end, it could set up perfectly for a horse like the 7 Big John B. You know, Hard Aces. He always comes with a run. I think horses like that will definitely find that the race could set up for these closers.
Yeah, well, I think now Hard Ace is he's won this race before back in the day. He's an interesting horse because he doesn't always show up.
Yeah,
you know, he's the epitome of an in and outer. Maybe that's why they call him Hard Aces.
I suppose.
I mean, you know, he just he's got tons of ability, but. Mm-hmm. But he's not very reliable.
Yeah.
So you can't leave him off your ticket, right. But you really don't want to put him on.
Right.
He's one of those horses.
Right.
Interesting horse. And then, yeah, like Midnight Storm, I mean, he's going to be among the favorites. But, there's so much pace in here. It's really scary. American Freedom, you mentioned the blinkers going on. And that's something, too, as a rider, you have to keep that, you know, in the back of your head. For maybe your horse, if your horse is adding blinkers, or other horses in the race, and try to imagine what's going to happen there. Talk about that a minute.
Right. Well, the blinkers going back on has obviously, in the past, this horse has had more speed with the blinkers on, which makes sense. A horse is more focused with those blinkers, and you see it almost always adds a little bit more speed to a horse. So when you're in a race and you're preparing for that race and you're looking at maybe someone else with blinkers, and it helps you gauge who's going from the start and who's not. So that's how I look at it anyway.
You know, when you were riding, did you oftentimes come back to a trainer and say, you know, this horse really needs blinkers, or maybe you should take them off, or how does that work?
Yeah, I would definitely provide that feedback. You're a team, so everyone wants to win. And if I can provide feedback that will be beneficial to the trainer, all the better. And you find a lot of times the younger horses, they'll be looking around all around the track. And when you're turning for home and you know they have something in there, you just got to get it out of them. But they're so distracted by everything that's going on. You know, that's the type of horse that you would come back and you say, boss, I think blinkers would help this horse out. Sometimes horses, they need to see their competition. And I've been on horses where I've been beat right on the wire because my horse had blinkers on and wasn't able to see the competition coming and wasn't able to give it that extra oomph at the end. So in that kind of a situation, you might suggest taking the blinkers off.
Well, Gary Stevens yelled at me one day at Del Mar, and this is one of jockey agent Jim Pegram's favorite stories, but Gary was on four for me that day, and he comes out for the first race, and I said, listen, we have to live with one another all day. So I said, you ride these horses any way you want. You can do whatever you want with them. I'm not going to say a word. I only have one instruction. He says, what's that, Jude? Said, do not yell at me after the race. And he laughed. He goes, okay, it's a deal. Right? So we're there first race. I don't say a word to him. I give him a leg up. Philly's wearing blinkers for the first time. He rides a fantastic race, kind of like Classic Empire. Opens up four, turning for home on the turf. Looks like he's home free. And here comes Eddie Dalhousie out of the clouds and nails us. At the wire. My filly's like 14-1 or something. And Dalhousie's riding one of the favorites, 5-2. Just nails us right on the wire. Mm. Gary comes back and he just starts yelling at me. You stupid blah, blah, blah. I can't believe you didn't put holes in the blinkers. If you would have put blah, blah, blah holes in the blinkers, we would have won this race and blah, 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 blah. So I said, okay. So that was it. I was ecstatic. His agent came to me and said, man, that filly ran great. You were so right about her. I said, yeah. I said, but your jock didn't follow instructions. What do you mean he rode a great race? I said, oh, he rode a great race, but he didn't follow instructions. He goes, well, what did he do? I said, he yelled at me after the race. And I said, I told him, you can do anything you want. Just don't yell at me. I said, first words out of his mouth were, you stupid, blah, blah, blah. So anyway. Next race, I think we were in, was like the third or the fourth. Uh-huh. And he comes out and he's all sheepish and he's walking out, his head's down. And he says, Ray says I didn't follow instructions. And I said, you didn't follow instructions, but I said, let's just go on with our day. We didn't win any. We finished in the money in all four races.
Yeah.
But But we didn't win any.
Oh,
and I to this day, I think that's why he fired his longtime agent, Ray Kravagneff. But if he had gotten down to riding four horses for Jude Feld, that was not a good day. But, you know, sometimes jocks, it's like their standard thing when they come back. Oh, put blinkers on. And as a matter of fact, there's there's one jockey that I know very well who came back and said to a trainer, this horse needs blinkers. And the trainer said, well, he wore blinkers today. He says, well, then take them off. So, you know, that's a, it's interesting how all of that works, the dynamics, the behind the scenes in horse racing. But American Freedom with the blinkers, I think he is a better horse. He certainly won more races in blinkers than without them. As a matter of fact, all of his victories had come with blinkers, so it's not surprising that Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert would put him back on. Now, Baffert's other horse, Cupid, he's coming off a layoff. We touched on that a little bit earlier. He's running a mile and a quarter, which he's never run before. He's been training lights out. He has a 1:12.4 workout at San Anita on May 21st. Before that, he worked a couple of three stiff 7/8 and a mile in 1:38. So he's using the Whittingham playbook here. He's been working him along, and you know, he's probably relatively fit, but he's another one. His best races have come when he's on the lead, and that's a tough order for him.
It's going to be very tough for him to make the lead and to hang on to the lead if he does get to the front. First time back, I think that's going to be a lot to ask. But, you know, you also mentioned the one, American Freedom, adding the blinkers. You know, he's a horse that he won first time out, coming from off the pace. That was, of course, going 7 furlongs. But, you know, he could potentially, even with blinkers on, you mentioned he's much a better horse. I agree with you there. Maybe he can get a nice stalking type position where he's not possibly in front. But he's not a horse, I don't think, that has to have the lead.
Yeah, no, he doesn't have to have the lead, but he seems best with it.
Yeah.
Well, this is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Triple Crown, and we'll be back after these words.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, a 7-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now the sire of a Classic winner and a Breeders' Cup Sprint winner with his first crop.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
That powerful win in the Breeders' Cup Sprint capped a perfect 2016 campaign for Dre Fong that included a dominating win in the Grade 1 Kings Bishop at Saratoga and ended with Dre Fong being named Eclipse Champion Sprinter. In addition, Gio Ponti is also represented by the Classic Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs. And Castleton Lions is also home to Justin Phillip, who retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt.
But it will be Justin Phillips to win the Vanderbilt by 2.
Look for Justin Phillips' first crop of 2-year-olds in 2017. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
What do Catch a Glimpse, Beach Patrol, Bobby's Kitten, and Force the Pass all have in common? They're all Grade 1 winners, and they all ran in the now Grade 2 $500,000 Penn Mile. Join us Saturday, June 3rd at Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse for what promises to be another exciting renewal. First post for this special day of racing is 3:45 Eastern. Call 717-469-3235 to nominate or for more information. Adina Spring Stallion Point of Entry, boasting 5 Grade 1 victories, more than any other first crop stallion.
Oh, the classy Point of Entry would not be denied.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by 4 lengths.
Point of Entry has defeated Animal Kingdom.
And here comes Point of Entry who's running to daylight. And Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a five-race winning streak.
A son of the great Dynaformer and from a remarkable female family, Point of Entry's first four dams are Grade 1 winners and or Grade 1 producers. His progeny are the subject of excellent reports from the U.S., England, and Japan, with his first crop two-year-olds recording the fastest breeze times of any first crop stallion and selling for an average of over $358,000. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry, standing at Adena Springs. Visit adenastallions.com.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They're at the top of the lane now. Big Casanova being swamped from all sides. Catcher Flight, White Cap at the rail. Merino's under pressure. Opportunity on the outside, and Hard Aces down at the rail is finishing gamely. Then Finnegan's Wake. They come for home, and it's Hard Aces coming grittily down on the inside. And Hard Aces strikes the front. Opportunity on the outside. Catcher Flight is back to third. It's Hard Aces as they run to the wire in a thriller. Very close. Hard Aces, Opportunity, Catcher Flight was third, then Finnegan's Wake. Behind that came Ladaris, Big Casanova, and Majestic City. Merino behind them, then Poshke, Motown Men, and Batty Man was last.
Well, that was Trevor Denman with the call of the 2015 Gold Cup at Santa Anita, won by Hard Aces, who we talked about earlier being an in and outer. And we're going to be joined shortly by Mike Willman, the Director of Publicity at Santa Anita. He does a great job. He'll be with us in just a couple of minutes. But, Christina, it's a big day out at Santa Anita Park today, and one of their bigger days. Once the regular Santa Anita meet is over, the traditional meet that ends in April, they start what used to be Hollywood Park dates, and they've assumed a lot of the stakes that Hollywood Park was famous for. Today there's four stakes at Santa Anita: the Daytona Grade 3, the Gamely Grade 1, which was a Hollywood Park Stakes list of champion fillies won that. The Monrovia Stakes, which was a Santa Anita Stakes, and then the Gold Cup at Santa Anita, which used to be the Hollywood Gold Cup, which we talked about at the beginning of the show. But it's a nice card. It might be. And that was the last time I looked, the only place that has really nice weather today other than Florida.
Right?
So I guess you got to go to the coast-to-coast system if you want to go fast and firm.
This is true.
Today. So it's a really nice card. They did an excellent job putting together these races, and it's far and away the best racing today at Santa Anita.
So many equine celebrities running at Santa Anita today. They will be putting on a good show for us.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't wait. Lady Eli making her comeback. That's got to be just a special thing.
Oh, most definitely. On the top of my list of horses to see her on today, definitely.
That's cool. Well, we're joined now by Mike Willman. And Mike is the Director of Publicity at Santa Anita. Does a fantastic job. Outstanding guy. I've known him for more years than we'd care to remember. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, real good, Jude. I'm actually your old stomping grounds. I'm in the press box right at the finish line, and I kind of got a filly here that's going to work in just a moment, and just overseeing the whole deal. It's looking like we're going to have a great day. We've got a good card, as you know. Readily acknowledge the Gold Cup has come up tougher in years past, but the Gamely's a terrific race with Lady Eli coming out. And, hey, we're looking for some great racing over the three-day weekend here.
Well, you mentioned the Gold Cup, but it's still a really good race. I mean, there's some intrigue in there with Cupid coming back and American Anthem. And, of course, I'm going to be rooting for Mr. House's horse, Big John B. Old guys rule, as they say. Mr. House, myself, and Big John B. So you're working a filly right now that you own a piece of?
Yeah, well, I am the owner.
Oh, you're you are the owner. All right, cool.
Yeah.
Well,
you're
the second you're the second victim we've had on the show today that's been watching horses work while we've been interviewing them. So
yeah, I'm going to do my best. We're coming up on the 7/8 pole here. We're going to go 5/8. So anyway, just hope we hold our own.
Well, feel free to enjoy the work and you can have your watch with you, or are you.
You know, that's like an owner showing up with a condition book on the first day. I stay away from that.
Who's your trainer?
Kim Yakteen, dude.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, it's...
Kim and Steve Speck, they kind of trade horses back and forth up Golden Gate and down here. And I just kind of wanted to see what this filly could do down here. She's the last crop from my stallion and McCann's Mojave. And so just kind of wanted to enjoy it a little bit if she fits here. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you gotta give him a shot, and you've been an owner for a long time. McCann's Mojave, such a nice horse and very good to you over the years.
Yeah, he sure was. That's what you call a once in a lifetime deal, Jude. You know. Hey, I hear tell your brother Bob is he's around Canterbury Downs these days. Is there any truth to that?
You know, you never know where he's going to show up.
He's nomadic.
Yeah, I always have to wonder where he is before I call him. I usually text them first and say, where are you? So I don't ring his phone. The good thing about him is he's a horrible sleeper, so it could be any hour of the day or night when he's awake. So, but it's tough sometimes. Yeah. Is he in California? Is he on the East Coast? Where is he? And showing up at Canterbury wouldn't shock me at all. If there's a racetrack, there's usually a Feld in shouting distance.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So how are we going so far? We looking good?
Well, we're coming to the 16th pole. We're kind of on terms here in company. It's okay. Decent. I run second 3/4 of a length. I don't know who I'm in with, but I'm not going to be running with that horse. And that horse now, they're going out into the bottom here around the clubhouse turn. That's decent work. Probably like 102 and change.
That's good. Was that her first work over the track or
first 5/8?
Yeah, nice. That's all right. We're not in any rush.
Down to brass tacks. What do you want to talk about, Bruce?
Well, let's talk. Well, let's talk about the card today. Is fantastic out there. I mean, lots of nice racing. I know you've taken over the Hollywood Stakes and all that, and it's good today.
It is good. I mentioned the Gamely, and, you know, it's great to have somebody of Lady Eli's stature come out here. That said, it did scare a few people off. but, I mean, Mandela's got a real classy filly in there, Avenge. She's coming in fresh, and I've talked to some people who've seen her train, and they don't see why she can't come with a real big race off the bench. I mean, let's face it, it's not the main track, it's turf. Dick can get them ready. And along with that, I've just become a really big fan of Goodyear for Roses. She's just really stepped up her game, what we've seen in the PPs anyway, since she's joined Richie Baltus's outfit here. She had been, in Toronto. So I think Goodyear for Roses coming back from Keeneland, a pretty darn good effort. She might be the value in the race with Nakatani. I think she's got a hell of a chance.
Well, one of our listeners posted that they liked Goodyear for Roses today in the face of Lady Eli, who's arguably going to be, what, 3-5 or something like that?
Yeah, in there, I would think.
And then Avenge, you know, I mean, she's a grade one winner. She's got all the speed in the race. There's really nobody to go with her, so that makes her tough. And if you throw Goodyear for Roses in there, it's a pretty competitive race despite us being a six-horse field.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I don't know, a Goodyear for Roses, I'm trying to find a morning line here right now. She is... I mean, she's 4-1. I think she'll be all of that. You know, unfortunately, we did have a scratch, so we're down to a 5-horse field. I think the last time I was on, it's no secret, Jude, our number one issue out here is horses, and I'm in contact with a guy, you know, Sam Spear up north quite a bit, and, you know, we can talk philosophy, and we can talk different methods of reaching people via different platforms and so on and so forth. Give me the horses, baby. We get enough horses, that takes care of a whole lot of things.
Yeah,
it makes these races a lot more bettable, as you know.
Absolutely, and it was quite a coup to get Lady Eli out there because she's going to develop a lot of handle today just by herself. But, you know, it's tough when people have to ship out to California and they know they're going to be running against tough horses. But it's a long ship, and it's not sometimes the easiest place to get to. And that's got to be a struggle for most racetracks to get those horses out there.
Well, yeah, it's a struggle for the barns to get them out here. And what is so doubly frustrating, Jude, in my position as director of publicity here, I get so tired of saying Santa Anita based so-and-so. When I'm saying Santa Anita based, that means they ain't running here.
Right, you know, right.
They train here. They use this magnificent facility. Our year-round weather, which even though we had a lot of rain this winter, it's still an unbelievably great place to train on a year-round basis. And yet they don't run here near often enough. I'm telling you, Jude, it's a problem. And it's something – it's going to have to be addressed, and you're going to – pardon my language – you're going to piss some people off. There's going to be some people unhappy if measures are taken to try and get a little bit more adamant about people participating here on a more consistent basis. But it needs to happen. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, do you think like the program that Del Mar has to boost purses for shippers, would that help Santa Anita some?
That's a start, you know. But you've also got to incentivize people that are here to stay here and run, you know.
Right. Well, there's so many, especially during the summer months, there's so many opportunities around the country. And you know, people see what California Speed, as I like to call it, does at some of these eastern tracks. These horses from California.
These horses hit hard. We know that.
Yeah. So
believe me, hey, Jude, I get it. But that famous three, that big three-letter word, but we're having problems here, and we got to try and keep people home as often as we can, you know, and it's a very difficult assignment.
Yeah. Well, I understand your pain. I mean, field size is an issue at most racetracks. I mean, even some of the bigger ones like Santa Anita, Belmont Park. I mean, you hate to open your racing form and see the card lead off with, you know, two sixes or a five and a six. I mean, it's just really tough, and it's tough to make handle numbers that way.
Well, no doubt. It's a numbers game, and you know, the lifeblood of the game are the players, and that they want bettable races.
Well, do you think maybe like a cut back in schedule would help a little bit?
That's something to look at, but as you know, Jude, that's a tough thing to do. You know, we have a lot of people that work in this industry, and it's already contracted quite a bit with a 4-day week. So, I'm not real high on going in that direction, you know, without a whole lot of consideration.
How much effect do you think the fact of closing Hollywood Park, closing Fairplex for training has an effect on the horse population?
Well, I think anybody can agree it hasn't had a positive effect, you know. Now, the degrees of the negative effect we can debate, but there's no question it hasn't been a positive, you know. For one thing, just the seasonal aspect, you got to have it. You really, I mean, it's life-giving to be able to turn the page. You go to a new meet, a new locale, and everybody starts fresh. It helps, you know. But so that's been a big blow, you know, losing Hollywood Park. It was a terrific place to develop horses. I personally am a big believer in trying to make something happen at Fairplex just as an off-site stabling option, because I know Los Alamitos is not going to be there for the long run. You know, when Doc's gone, there's nobody behind him. And there's already plans in place to develop that. That property's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And so we better have a plan B as far as off-site stabling. To me, the only thing that makes sense is Fairplex, unless we want to try and do something with this Santa Ana riverbed out here and get some pins out there and a makeshift training track, you know what I'm saying, and being very facetious.
Yeah.
So taking a long time to answer, I think I think closing those two venues is has not been good.
Yeah, well, it certainly makes sense because everybody needs a farm team. I mean, you have to have some horses in the background. Horses get hurt. Horses need a rest. And you've got to have some fresh ones coming in. And when you don't have a place to stable them, that's got to be a huge, huge problem.
Huge. And you have to have, like you say, that deep bench. You got to have an overabundance of inventory, which we do not have right now. That said, the numbers guys tell me, hey, look, we got a lot of horses here, but a lot of these outfits are not running often enough. So there's no silver bullet. I'm going to tell you, Jude, there is not. I readily acknowledge that. There is no easy answer. You know, black, white, this is it. If we do this, this is going to pull us out. It's a mosaic, a very complex mosaic.
Yeah, well, hopefully the ship can get righted and Santa Anita can return to its former glory, because you know as well as I do, in the old days when we were working in the press box together, that was some of the greatest racing of all time. And
sure was.
We want to get it back to that.
Yeah, and I'm a big believer in the on-track experience and people coming out here and having a laugh, a good time. And that's another factor, as you know. I mean, over 90% of the money wagered is not on track. It's through all these other means, and that makes it hard to grow this game long term, you know.
Right.
Because the people betting through these other platforms, they're already fans. Those aren't new people. It's basically, and this is a word a lot of people don't like to hear, it's cannibalization. You know, those are not new people. The new people are coming out here on the weekend and hopefully having a good, positive experience, and they tell their friends about it, and we get a groundswell of some sort.
Yeah, well, that would be fantastic. Well, good luck with your filly. Thanks for sharing the work with us, and I appreciate you coming on this morning. Always good to talk to you, and best of luck today with the Gold Cup at Santa Anita.
Thanks so much. All the best, Jude.
Thanks, Mike. You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And when we come back, Christina and I are going to go over a couple of races, maybe something to bet on today.
Power.
But Tapazar is just playing too good today. And it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Cory Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Gainsway stallion Tapazar is a grade one winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of champion Untappable, and is Tappet's only grade one winning miler at stud. Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10 and a half lengths at Churchill Downs at 2, went wire to wire to win the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at 3, and was a runaway winner of the Grade 2 San Fernando and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir. Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Roger.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Roger.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
And they're into the stretch, and Destin has taken the lead in the Belmont Stakes. Stradivari is there. Governor Malibu couldn't get through on the inside. He is in traffic. Exaggerator. Here comes Lonnie on the far outside, and Creator is coming too. It is Destin in front. Creator, Lonnie on the outside. Destin and Creator, these two come down to the line together. Too close to goal. It was Creator and Destin right on the wire. Rod Ortiz raised his whip in victory, but it is very close in the Belmont Stakes.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. This is Jude Feld, and that was Larry Colmus again. That guy calls a lot of big races, you know. Creator in the Belmont Stakes last year, and that was a fun race to watch.
Yeah.
And for me, I happened to be in the winner's circle watching the Belmont from the winner's circle because I was to interview trainers afterwards. And there was such a contrast. Steve Asmussen, who's not a real effusive guy, is beaming with this huge smile on his face, jumping up and down. And Todd Pletcher is walking down the aisle with his head down, dejected because of that narrow defeat that Destin took. And it was just like, usually it's kind of like the other way around, but it was so dramatic. It was really cool to watch. And then being able to interview Steve Asmussen after that victory was a lot of fun for me because his parents were there and his family was there, and he's a big family guy. And it was an important victory for him, and classic win and all of that. And he was over Granny's greenhouse, as the English guys like to say. So that was really, really cool, and a race that I thoroughly enjoyed and will remember for a long, long time. Belmont's coming up. I know you've been doing some studying.
I have.
Who do you like?
Well, I tell you, Jude, it's going to be interesting. I think some of these new shooters we will see in the Belmont, I think they will bring in some speed. The likes of Twisted Tom, Meantime, I think those horses have some speed. So should set up a good pace scenario for the closers, such as Looking at Lee, a horse I was a big fan of going into the Derby. And the Preakness, not as much, but definitely like that horse in the Derby. And, Senior Investment ran really well in the Preakness, also closing type of horse. So I'm going to stick with my gut and go with really like Looking at Lee. Coming into the Belmont, so maybe you'll be interviewing Steve Asmussen again this year.
Well, I won't be doing the interviews this year. I'll be in the booth with Mike. Jeff Bloom and Tom Leach are going to be down below. That's going to be fun. They're going to work together, and Anthony Stabile will be joining us, and it's going to be a really fun broadcast. I love Belmont Day. It's a Breeders' Cup-style racing day. The races are just outstanding. I think there's, what, 7 grade ones or something. I'm not exactly sure of that number, but there's plenty of good racing all day long, lots of stakes, and there'll be a lot of action. We're going to be broadcasting the Belmont Stakes from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock, and it's just an outstanding day. One I've really gotten to look forward to every year. Triple Crown or not, it's just such a great day of racing, and outstanding, and this year's coverage will be fantastic. We got a really crack staff, and I wish you were going.
I know.
But one of these days we'll get you out there.
One of these days. Perfect. Can't wait.
Yeah. But what about Multiplier? What do you think about him?
I don't know quite what to think about him, Jude. I'll be honest with you. He surprised me in the Preakness. He ran very well in the Preakness, but never really had a lot of faith in that horse, I guess. So he surprised me.
Yeah, but I don't know. When he won the Illinois Derby, he went 36-2 the last 3/8, and that just keeps sticking in my head.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize I had bet on him a little bit in the Preakness. I used him on my tickets and stuff, and I was a little disappointed after the race. And then I looked at the chart, and I go, this horse ran better than it first appeared.
Right.
You know, when you're broadcasting the race and you're watching the horses in front, and you've got to be able to talk about them afterwards, and
right.
you don't get to see the whole picture sometimes. I mean, I try to do that. I was one of the few people that actually saw Thunder Snow doing the buck jump thing. But that's my old racing form training kicking in. You know, you look at the horses in the back first because they're the ones that broke slow. But, well, it sounds like we're out of time.
Oh, my gosh.
This 2 hours went fast. I really appreciate you sitting in with me today. It was a lot of fun.
This was so much fun. Tell Mike to leave more often.
I don't want to do that. He does most of the work. So, but we'd like to thank Kent Sweezy for coming on. And then the trio of Mikes, Mike House, Mike Nyman and Mike Wellman, great to have those guys on, and it's been a really fun morning. So looking forward to Belmont Stakes, and we'll see what happens that day.
Can't wait.
For Christina McManigill, this is Jude Feld. You've been listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and for everybody that's been waiting, good night, Barbados. Barbados.